First of all, I'll just hand over to Carl and let you just talk.
Thanks, Mark. I went over to get some food and I saw this. It's a sign! Yeah, we've had a bit of, there's a bit of joy over there. I shared with Martine my Marmite testimony because she asked me if I've always been a lover of Marmite. And I haven't. I have a testimony to share. I used to hate it. But I went on a school trip when I was like primary school, and we went away and they made these sandwiches that we all had like a packed lunch. And I'd never had Marmite before, but it was really thick, like Marmite about that thick. And I bit into this sandwich and it was like the most vile thing I've ever tasted in my life. And I spat it out and I said, "What is that?" And they said, "Oh, that's Marmite." And I said, so I went through most of my childhood thinking, I do not like Marmite. I hate it. It's disgusting. It's vile. And then when I was with some friends camping, and they said, "Do you want a bit of Marmite on toast, Carl?" I said, "No, I hate Marmite." They said, "Have you ever tried it like thin, just with a bit of butter on the toast?" And I said, "No, I don't really like it." They said, "Well, just try it. Try it." That's a good thing, isn't it? So I tried it and I thought, wow, that's really nice. And I've been a lover ever since. So for those who have ears, may you hear that parable. So I'm not going to share a lot, what I've already shared. But really, in terms of the journey and thinking about this, because I really think you need to be, we, Viv and I, are discerning and praying and listening to God about whether this is the right step for us. And you as a church, listening as individuals, but also collectively. And something about that's part of our Baptist DNA, you know, being a Baptist, part of our history and really the way we are designed to operate as a church is to seek the mind of Christ together. And it was great how Mark shared that this is not just like the leadership saying, right, we're all going to do this now, but everybody has a part to play in discerning and listening to God and seeking God. And we may not realize this, but even church meetings, members' meetings, are supposed to be places where we seek God and listen to God together, not just discuss business things. And so I want to encourage you to push in to seek God, not just on the big things. Often we seek God for the big decisions, like what job to take or who to get married to or whatever it is. But actually, we can seek him in everything and seek his presence and discern what he's calling us to do in every situation. Jesus spent his life listening to the Father and only doing what the Father told him to do, only going where the Father told him to go, only saying what the Father told him to say. And that's a challenge, but it's a good thing. So, the journey, it was interesting, Mark was describing the situation when he sent me the church profile, and I started to look at this. And I started to think, as Mark said, who are the people that I'm connected with that I could share about this? And last year when we were doing the walk through the Bible, which I think was in October, just had a great time. We were meeting over there and we were walking through the Old Testament. And Helen, Tony's wife, said to me at some point during one of the breaks, she said, "I don't know if you know, but we're looking for a minister here at Ruddington Baptist Church." And she said, "And you seem to have kind of got on with everybody here and it's quite clear and, you know, whatever." So, and then she like looked at me in the eyes and said, "Watch this space." Literally what she said. And I remember thinking, that's a bit weird. Because I've not in any way thinking about settling down and becoming a minister of a church, because my role over the last few years has been more pioneering stuff of lots of different things that I'm involved in. Like I mentioned, chaplaincy earlier. We started a kingdom business selling coffee. So I have a little coffee van, and doing coaching and English, doing a lot of English teaching stuff as well, which is really exciting. And supporting churches and leaders and different things. So I've not been thinking about this. So this has been a very unusual journey for me. And I'm stepping on the edge of the nest as well, thinking about this. But then as I began to look at this profile, I kind of thought, ooh, I'm quite excited about that. You know, sometimes when you look at these church profiles, they say things like, we use the blue books in the morning and the red books in the evening service. And you think, oh, gosh, okay. And yeah, and you kind of think, wow, there's a lot of work to do there. But no, when some of these things that excited me in this profile were seeking a man or woman. That's good to know, isn't it? With a kingdom focus, apostolic leader, a dream awakener with a passion for breaking new ground and enabling others to grow in faith, an evangelist, storyteller with a heart for reaching out to the local community and building strong relationships, a person to challenge and stretch us to take us out of our comfort zone. And, you know, later when you had that vision day and then you sort of mentioning those things, apostle, evangelist, teacher, and that kind of, all of that really excited me. And I was sitting down with Viv one evening and I sort of read to her what I've been reading in this. And she said, wow, that sounds like they're describing you there. That's really weird. And it kind of, so that's when I kind of came back to Mark and said, you know, I want to prayerfully explore that. But I want to be, that one of the facts of this is that, and it was mentioned a little bit earlier, that you weren't seeking a traditional or a conventional minister. Now, there's nothing wrong with people being a traditional or conventional minister, and I've been one for most of my ministry. It was about halfway through the time when we were at Haddon Hall in Bermondsey that everything changed and God changed from being a conventional minister into this kind of mission idea. And so that's actually quite different as a way of thinking about doing ministry. First of all, it's about equipping people for ministry. In fact, all of those gifts are to equip people. An apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, teacher, to equip God's people for works of service. So they're not necessarily, it's not like, oh, that person's a pastor, and that person's an evangelist, and that person's an apostle, and that person's a prophet. They're more like, people who are gifted by Jesus in these areas are to train all of us to operate in those ways so that we all know how to care for each other. We all know how to share the good news wherever we live, learn, work or play. We all know how to hear from God in a prophetic way. So that's something, it's an equipping role. And so a mission enabler is somebody that's quite different from being a traditional minister who might come along and preach on a Sunday and visit everyone. I don't know what traditional ministers do these days, but that kind of role. So I want to say, actually, you will need to think about things quite differently and not bring your expectations of what you think a minister should be or should do or whatever. The big challenge is that it's actually about, because you've actually said in your journey that you want to kind of grow and look outwards and develop. And that's something that you feel you need God's help to give you a vision beyond where you are right now. And so the role of a mission enabler will be outwardly focused. It will be thinking out there. How can we bring the kingdom to the whole of Ruddington? Not just inwardly, how can I care for this little group of people here? So it's a very different mindset. So I want to throw that one in there. So just at that point, what are your questions and thoughts? We can have a little discussion about this.
Yeah, that sounds good. What will it look like in practice? Does that mean Sundays will be different, or we'll have different times for different things, or do stuff through small groups? I don't know. I'm just imagining what it might look like practically.
Yeah, it's a good question, Ness. When you do an alpha course and somebody asks a question, then the next question is, what do other people think about that? It's kind of like, that's open. But yeah, so it will be different. The missional journey that we went on as a church, and let me say the first thing is, it's not going to be the same as anywhere else. It's not necessarily the same as what happened to us in Bermondsey. It won't be the same as even what's happening in West Bridgeford down the road, because God has a plan and a strategy for Ruddington, and he has a plan and a strategy for this church. So we need to be in that mode of listening to God and flowing in what he wants us to do. And constantly kind of doing that, not just importing some kind of program or strategy that we say, right, we're going to do this here, this works somewhere else, and we're going to do that. So that's the main thing, listening to God. So we don't always know what that will be. It may be not to do certain things that we're already doing. It may be to do other things that we're not doing. But we will still gather as a church. And I think gathering is still really important. There's gathering and scattering. So there's the in and the out. You know, Jesus says, come follow me. What does it say in the Bible? Come follow me. Thank you. Come follow me. This is what Jesus said to the fishermen by the lake. Come follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. So there is an in, there's an in and an out dimension to it. So come follow me and I'll send you out. So there's an in, come in, we'll train, we'll equip, we'll, you know, he's calling apprentices. The best word to describe a disciple is an apprentice, somebody's going to learn from Jesus, be with Jesus, become like Jesus, and go out to do the things that Jesus is calling them to do. So as a church, there will be an in element where we gather, like we've done this morning, and we celebrate God and we praise God, and we hear stories of what's happening in our lives. We hear from each other, and we encourage each other and pray for each other and support each other. And there will be still lots of opportunities to do that through meals and meeting in homes and even just people getting together for a chat or on a WhatsApp group or whatever it is. There's an in and there's a coming together. But the gathering is the coming in, but then we're going out. We're going out to live for Jesus in our world, in the place where he's placed us to be. And so what's happened here this morning, you know, we're sending you out this week to live for Jesus. That's where the church is going to be this week, where you are. And that's, so there'll be those two elements to it. What was the other things that you said, Ness? But there will be some very simple, what we've come across, what we've developed over the years, I guess you would put it this way, or learned, is some very simple, reproducible practices that can help everybody. So, for example, one of them was what we just looked at this morning, which was we can pray for people. All of us can pray for other people. And you might it might be quite scary to do that the first time, but that's something that we can... So wherever we God's placed us, we can pray for those people. And that's a missional practice. And that, as we do that, we begin to see God at work in that situation, and God changes things and God's power comes in. So that's a simple thing. We need to meet to encourage each other. So how do we hear from God? How do we read the Bible together? So we've got things like discovery Bible studies of how to look at some passages of the Bible and hear what God is saying to us through that and sharing that with each other. So those kind of things, and there's quite a few similar kind of things like that.
Thanks very much. I mean, what you described sound like what we talked about. Yes, we don't necessarily really looking for a traditional minister, more someone to enable. So yes, the job description I think is correct, and I think what you've said, you know, and your skills and like Viv says, you know, it's like, oh, there's a match, which is quite exciting. My question is, has God ever spoken to you through a child? And what, yeah, I guess, I feel like often kids are like, they go out and they don't come to members' meeting. And I think maybe I said something like this last night, you know, often their voice is unheard. But I think it's the same Holy Spirit in kids as in adults. And how do you, yeah. What, tell me about children. Has God ever spoken to you through a child?
I met a child once. Yeah. So I have met a couple of children. In fact, we've got a couple of them, haven't we? We've got a couple of our own children. Yeah, God. Yeah, you're right, Sarah. God can speak through children. And I'll tell you about what happened to me. This is a long time ago. Like, we were in Canning Town in East London when we first got married. We moved to London, and I was pastoring a church called Canning Town Evangelical Church. We were there for about 8 years. It was an amazing experience, and we ran a child one evening. Well, we used to, back in those days, if you were a proper church, you had a morning service and an evening service. Can you remember those days? And so we'd have an evening service, but the evening service, obviously, just a few people. And the local kids used to come and throw rocks at the door and the windows and bang on the door when we were having the evening service. And we used to have to keep going outside and chasing them away and things like that. So we kind of thought, we began to pray, we need to do something about this. So we said, well, let's run a children's club. We called it Monday Night Mania. Obviously, it wasn't a very PC name in the day. And so we used to run this, we had a holiday club, and then following on from that, we used to run this amazing full-on children's club, and all the local kids from the community came. And gradually over the years, those kids became young people, and we got involved in families, and we saw things change. And we used to meet every Monday, we used to sing songs, we used to look at Bible stories, we used to play games, we used to do crazy things, we used to go on trips and all sorts of things. And then one day all the children used to be gathered, and every week I used to invite them to church. So I'd say, we'd love to invite you to church on Sunday, we meet for church. And you know, it we're in the same room, But there's other people here as well. There's like adults and we have church and we, you know. So come along on Sunday, bring your family, bring your you know, your mum and dad, your brothers, sisters, cousins, whatever, and come along to church. We'd love you to come to church on a Sunday, okay? And I used to give that invitation every week to the children. Did they come to church? No. You may have realized this by now. This may come as a bit of a surprise or shock to some of you, but generally people these days don't go to church. And there was all sorts of issues and situations why they didn't come to church, but we never got any of them to come to church. But then one day, God spoke through a boy called Billy, who was sitting a bit like where you're sitting there, Sarah. And Billy put his hand up, and I was given this invitation to come to church. And Billy said, I thought this was church. And I sort of like thought about that for a moment, and I said, well, yeah, I see what you mean, Billy. It's kind of a bit like church because, you know, we do the same things that we do at church. Like we sing songs and we read the Bible together and we have fun, and that's what happens at church. So it's a bit like church. So, yeah, this is a bit like church. He said, no, I thought this was actually church. I thought I was coming to church. I said, yeah, I understand what you mean. It's a bit like church. And church is like this, but there's more people and we kind of get in the room and there's adults and things like that. You see what's happening here? He's speaking to me. He's challenging my understanding. God is speaking through Billy and he's challenging my understanding of church. But he really sort of knuckled down and he said, I tell all my friends and family that I'm going to church. I thought this was church. And at that moment, God spoke to me and it was like this. Poof. And I sort of thought, what am I talking about? Of course, this is church. Yeah, I said, yeah, this is church. You're right. We're at church. We're in church. That's what it is. And so, yeah, we need to be listening to people. And that was the beginning for me of changing my understanding. And we sometimes take some of these mindset shifts for granted. That church is not just this thing, and you guys have been on that journey for many years of this meeting that happens on Sunday. But yeah, we need to involve children in the Bible. The first disciples were all Jewish, and children are part of the family. They met together in homes. Children were part of those meals. Children were involved in the life of the church. In fact, the Holy Spirit came upon the 3,000 people, and Peter said, that message is for you and your children and for those who are far away. So it's for whole families that are going to reach other families. So yeah, God can speak through children, and we need to be creating environments where we can listen and children can be involved. Yeah.
Just adding into that, we from our one of the churches, I can't remember, I think it's probably Haddon Hall, we used to have missional communities and in homes, and so there'll be sort of like two or three families or that will come together, and the kids were very much involved, and we had kids that were, you know, babies upwards, but they'll be involved in telling Bible stories and sharing stuff, and we used to share stories about what God's done in our lives. And I remember one particular incident where there was a girl who had eczema and it really troubled her, and it was very, very itchy. And she was really upset about it. And I think it was one of the stories we were reading about where Jesus healed, was it the woman whose son had died and he had brought him back from the dead, sort of thing? And this sort of spoke to her in so many ways. And she thought, I want to be prayed for healing. And I think we prayed for her. And I didn't think anything of it. But then the following week, when we met again, she says, I'd been healed. I wanted to tell you I'd been healed. And then she was just so excited about it. And I think she was just 7 at the time. And this is Sophie, who's just absolutely amazing. And that's transformed her life from that moment when she was 7 to how she is now, and still know the family now. So, you know, God will just speak to anybody, really.
I don't want to sound too controversial, and sometimes I have to hold myself back, but as we began to be much more missional as a church, and as we began to meet and share our lives, we began to realise that in the Bible there's no such thing as children's work or youth work. That's a kind of, at its worst case scenario, is farming off the kids to get some kind of spiritual input. And actually, families need to be equipped to do that, to bring children up, to know God, and that kind of thing. So, actually, we need to be equipping all of us as families to be able to have children as a big part of all the things we do. Martine?
We can learn even from the Roman Catholic Church, who include children much more in their main service. They're never sent out, and it's part of their as a family, they are all together there all the time. And I think, oh, how does that work? Do they get bored? Do they get fractures? But they don't. And I think sometimes we might learn from other tradition and look at outside what we do. And as you say, there's no such thing in the Bible as children's work or youth work, or, you know, it's much more integrated together. Anyway.
Thanks, Martine. And the Roman Catholics have a very comprehensive cradle to the grave program, which is about the whole of life, and they think through all the different stages of it. Yeah, Derek.
Thank you to you and Viv for coming over. It's great to meet you. Thank you. You've obviously put a lot of effort into thinking about coming here because of all the correspondence we've received. Has been brilliant. So thanks for all the work that you've put in onto that. Ness asked the question I was going to ask originally about where do we go from here? What actually happens? What really do we do? And I think I want to say that I think we've all got a big decision here, and I think that you and Viv together have got a bigger one, because it affects you. And so thank you for coming over and taking that risk. What was my second question? My mind's just gone a blank. Yes, I think I've said it. It's a bigger decision for you. What do you see in us? You've read our profile, and having met us, met the leadership team particularly, and now a few more of us this morning and last night, how has your feelings been affected by how you've actually met with us in physical sense?
Thank you. That's a good question. Derek welcomed me this morning and came over and sat next to me. Although I have met you and Sylvia before, I think you were outside welcoming when I came to one of your Sunday gatherings. And when Mark was mentioning the walk through the Bible, Derek turned to me and said, you can come to that if you like. So that's a good welcome. Thanks. I'm hoping to be there. But yeah, I want to be brutally honest and say this profile is amazing. But my question is, what's the reality? Do you actually mean those things that you put here in the paper? Because that's the crux question, is that. Are you really open to that? Or are you still wanting to... You see, normal church is... sorry, I'm using this a bit too much. Normal church is kind of like this, where we gather and we have church, and then we have teaching and worship, and we have a Sunday thing and all the rest of it. And then some people go off and do this thing over here called mission. some people, the sort of super keen people who want to kind of take things a bit further, like the SAS Christians or whatever. But actually the model of church, the missional model of church, is we're all going that way out. But in the context of going out, we have an up and an in. So we're listening to God and following God and Jesus, and we're caring for each other and loving each other. But it's in the context of going out. It's not we're loving and caring for each other and listening to God, and mission is a sort of activity out there that we can join in with if we want to. No, that we're all going in that direction. Sometimes that I draw this as a triangle like that. This is another simple, reproducible idea. So you've got an out, an up, and an in. The out is where we're going. This is a bit like the old days of the DVD player when you press the play button. We're all going out, and we worship God, we love God, we hear from God, and we support and love each other and care for each other in the context of going out. Are you with me? So my question is, are you up for that journey? Are you really wanting to do that? Are you? And the only thing in terms of being up for it is to say, we're open. We are wanting to learn and grow and develop in that. Because what I don't want to happen is you say, well, yeah, we like Carl and Viv, and we're quite excited about this kind of idea of doing all this, you know, mission stuff. But then when we come, it's kind of we're having to get everybody to agree with it. Do you see what I mean? And that sometimes, I have to honestly say that if you don't feel you're up for it, please don't say yes. Please don't, because that's going to create a lot of problems down the road. Because we said that, oh yeah, we want to do that, but then when, you know, I don't want to bring churches down, but we've pastored three churches, and the last church that we were pastoring, things kind of went a little bit pear-shaped, to be honest. And this is not Haddon Hall, but after Haddon Hall, the church, they didn't have a document like this, but they thought through a lot of things and they were up for things. And we had similar meetings with them and the team, and they were really going for it. But then when it came to it, they really were quite uncomfortable. You know, like the church grew quite considerably in a short space of time, and all sorts of people were coming and becoming part of the church, you know, drug addicts and they were kind of, and people were sort of, they were quite uncomfortable meeting these other people that we'd kind of connected with in the community. And suddenly it was kind of the rubber had hit the road, and we baptized a number of people. And the church began, some of the people in the church began to say, you can't just baptize people like that. We need to, as a church, have a membership meeting, and we all need to interview them, and, you know, all these kind of things. And they really were not happy with those things that were happening. And so it led to a difficult situation. And so we don't want that to happen, but I don't want you to feel blackmailed into it either. That's why I think it's important that we seek God and listen to God, because it's actually going to be quite a big step for me and Viv, like you're saying, Derek, because it's quite a different direction from what we were thinking about. And obviously it's about a move to this area and all those different things. So we're prayerfully discerning that as well. Thank you. Other questions, comments? Thanks for all your comments. I'm talking a bit too much. Julian.
Could you tell us a little bit about who you are and who you are, Viv, in terms of you know, obviously I spent time with you last night, some good conversations, heard you preach, and thank you for that. But, you know, how do you work? How do you play? What inspires you? What are your energy levels like? You know, who are you?
I drink a lot of coffee. Two things help me to engage with God every day. One is coffee. And I wake up and I make a big pot of coffee, and then I read the book of Psalms or some of the Psalms, and it helps me to pray and engage with God in that early morning time. Who are we? How do we operate? Viv knows the answers to this one.
I'm only speaking for myself. For me, I see myself, as I say, a daughter of Christ, and I'm very much, my identity that God's given me is a light bringer in the darkness. So I'm always shining God's light into areas where it just seems hopeless or impossible. But my general personality is always fun, so I'm always joking about things, so I always bring humour into absolutely every single situation. I hopefully laugh a lot, but it doesn't happen all the time. I struggle with lots of things, you know. My journey with God is just absolutely amazing, and God, I think from 2009, my journey up to 2009, we've been leading, I think it was one church, and in 2009, midway at Haddon Hall, there was an opportunity that we got to go to this Church of England church that was hearing from God for people, and it was just work, you know, looking at how God sees you and what the blockages are for your life. And I had the opportunity to go to be prayed for at this church, and I was sharing this with somebody the other day, but I remember going thinking that God is going to tell me off and all these things are going to be wrong with my life and whatsoever, and it was totally the opposite. I mean, these people didn't know me. It was three people, and they just spoke into my life and told me all about my life, which was true. And so it was obviously clearly from God. And then all the things that were stopping me from actually fully functioning as God saw me and wanted me to function as. And up till then, I was struggling. I was struggling in my relationship with God. I was struggling in my identity and who I was, and very insecure. If you ever knew me before, when I was married, in the early stages, I was married to Carl. Literally, I would be in the corner of the room. You wouldn't even know or even hear from me, seriously. I would be so quiet, and everybody says, really? I can't believe that now. So from... Shh. So that time has just been a significant time when, you know, up till then, my knowledge of God was so skewed. And that's when I sort of, in a sense, strove to get to know God. Because I was saying, Lord, you know me. I never even knew you saw me in this way, and I want to know you more. And since then, that's how my journey's been, really, every single day. And for God to use me how he wants to use me in my day-to-day, wherever I go. But I like cars. That's my, just in my likes. I'm into cars. If I could do motor racing, I would do, just saying. Carl's not into cars, so my girls are very much into cars. They know all about the latest cars and all that sort of stuff, so I like that. What else do I like? I played the piano, but I haven't done it since we've been out of a church for 4 years. What else do I like doing? I don't know. I just like fish, yes. Cooked. To eat. Sorry, it's really bad if I'm cooking. You know, killing fish, but yeah, cooked, none of this sushi stuff, none of that. So that's me, I think. Is there anything else? Yeah, is that all right?
Yeah, so we have a lot of fun. We live our life really just simple, following Jesus, get up in the morning and say, I want to live my life for Jesus this day, praying for the day ahead and the opportunities that come up. And I'm doing little pockets of different things at the moment. So I'm doing chaplaincy work in the care home, which is an incredible privilege, and journeying with the staff and the residents and the families and bringing God's kingdom into that home. That's amazing. I've had experience working in a cafe in Pret-a-Manger in Canary Wharf, which was a life-changing experience for me to be part of this amazing team. And they taught me all I know about coffee and everything else, which is amazing. And so I like that. I like reading a lot. I like watching TV and movies and stuff like that. I like walking, as I've said. What else do I like? Those kind of things. And I teach English as a foreign language. So I have a number of different students face-to-face, but I also do a lot of online teaching. It's a very exciting thing happening, which happened this last week, in that I don't know if you know Sharon Sheck. She's a Baptist minister that's employed by the, I don't know if it's the East Midlands Baptist Association or the Baptist Union, to help Hong Kongers to settle in the UK and to help churches to welcome Hong Kongers and that kind of thing. So we've been supporting and alongside Sharon for quite a few years. And also she's got some others of the team. Sharon lives in Derby, and Londi, who lives down in London. And they sort of said, we'd love to do a Bible English course. So one of the ways I teach English is through looking at the Bible. And so last Tuesday, we started our first online Bible course with about 45 people online, Zoom. People all over Birmingham, Aberdeen, you know, Hong Kongers. And we're teaching English through the Bible and building Christian community in this amazing online thing. So that's exciting. I get very excited about things like that. So we're doing a four-week course.
To some other things. I love reading the Bible. And part of that is that I have a clothing brand that I've just recently started, for 2 years now, that I sell clothing to help people to walk in their identity in Christ, really. So it's a reminder on the clothing. There's some scriptures. So at the moment, one is called Holy Armour. So that's the brand at the moment. That's literally going through trademarking, but anyway, that's the thing, and to encourage people into reading God's word, because it's such an amazing book that helps life. Yeah, and I like prayer. Sorry, pray a lot, and prophetic. Yeah, so that's.
And building on the coffee idea, God has been encouraging Viv and I to get more involved in kingdom businesses. And it was a really unusual journey, because we've had absolutely no experience at business at all. And so Viv's doing the clothing stuff, and I've been doing this coffee thing called I-61. So it's based on the passage we looked at today. It was I-61, it's good news. And it's a coffee, I've got a little van, and we go to various different events and markets and things like that, and share good news and serve coffee. So that's something I'm involved in, yeah. Rosemary.
Thank you. I'm looking at your diagram, thank you, which is great. Is the top one teaching and the other one's caring for each other, is that right? Or discipling and caring for each other?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Strength, loving God, listening to God,
yeah.
Relationship with God, loving each other,
yeah.
And loving our members.
Yeah. Okay. I think my question is the loving each other and caring for one another, how do you see that working out in practice? And also, how does it fit in when with people who have individual pastoral needs, like somebody has a cancer diagnosis, somebody loses a spouse, and how do you see that sort of fitting in with the whole picture, I think, the pastoral needs?
That's a great question. And if Jesus gives us these five gifts, how do we draw a... What's a five-figure thing called again? Is it a penta? Yeah. Is that right? One, two, three, four, five. So you've got an apostle and a prophet and an evangelist. I'm not very good at drawing upside down. A shepherd or a pastor and a teacher. Most churches, coming back to the idea of the conventional minister, are shepherd teachers. So we take that model, we shepherd a flock, we look after them, and we teach them, and we care for the pastor cares for people. But often as the church, we've kind of not engaged in these other gifts that Jesus has given the church. And my understanding of Reddington Baptist Church is that you are strong in these areas and have developed gifts in these things, but are looking for people that can have a bigger picture. The prof, particularly the apostle and the evangelist, how do we share the good news? So it would be to still do that, but also we're looking outwards in terms of how we... What you've hit your nail on the head there, Rosemary. This is the biggest worry that most churches face when they think about going out there. They think, well, what would that mean to us? What about us? What about our needs? What about our sort of situation? And I guess a challenging question for us would be, I often think about this. We think, you know, Ruddington Baptist Church is a good church. It's an amazing church. It's a wonderful... There, you've got pictures of you doing amazing things, having fun, laughing. It's joyful. You're doing amazing things. You're one of the biggest well-kept secrets in Ruddington, really, because you don't have much of a public profile, but you're doing amazing good things. So you could look at it this way. What do we need to do to grow? What do we need to do to reach out? What do we need to do that we're not doing that we need to do to make this happen? That's one way of looking at it. But another way of looking at it would be, why have we not grown? Why has it not happened? If we're such a good, healthy church, why have we not multiplied? Why have we not grown? Why have we not, you know... That's a different way of looking at it, that in sense of why has this not happened? Do you see what I mean? Are there things that are blocking that from happening? Are there things that are stopping us from reaching out? Are there things that are stopping it? Because we want... Remember, God's love is for all people. 9,000 people in Ruddington, and he wants all of them to know him and his kingdom and all the wonderful things we talked about, his love, to be free, to be healed, to be forgiven. And we have to ask the question as a church, why is, if we focus on that, that won't happen. And so we need to bring into it that. But in the midst of that, the wonderful thing is, Rosemary, when we first started to do this at Haddon Hall, we started with a 10-day mission onto a local estate in which we went out and we shared the good news and met people in homes and prayed for people, and we saw God doing amazing things. The wonderful thing that happened is that this, we cared for each other more than we'd ever cared for each other in our lives. We loved each other more than we'd ever loved each other before. We became a band of brothers and sisters in such a deep level that we never experienced that kind of fellowship and pastoral care. So the more we do mission, actually, the more we care for each other and we love each other. And obviously, we still need to be aware of how we support each other and how everybody's part of it and everybody can belong and be part of it. And I think that still needs to happen. But it will happen to a stronger level as we become more engaged in mission, because that's when fellowship really increases to, you know, the level of fellowship. I'm sure you've experienced that. You know, those of you who've maybe been on a short-term mission somewhere, the team grow together so much, and they also grow in their relationship with God to such a great degree as well, which is wonderful.
Just add to that, in some ways, you know, like what Carl was saying, it doesn't necessarily change. It doesn't necessarily mean that people are not going to be loved or encouraged or seen or included. It's actually the same and. So it's an opening. It's an expansion of that. And in what, when we actually stepped out, what we saw was our faith levels increase. And we saw what God can do in the situation. And coming back to the fact that nothing is impossible for God. So when you had people who had, and we've experienced people who had serious illness situations, and, you know, when we've prayed about it, we've actually seen people supernaturally healed. That's a great question. But just coming back to just answering that situation, in some ways, it's a sort of Mary and Martha situation where Lazarus died. And they came to Jesus and they said, look, you know, why weren't you here? Because he died. You were off doing mission, and why didn't you heal him? And what happened was that Jesus, he at that particular time, he left it for a few days before he came back, because he wanted to demonstrate, actually, this is for our faith levels. This is about God. This is what God's wanting to do. And so the key question is whether we're here to do what God's wanting to do, or whether we're here to do what we're used to, or what we see happening, and base it upon our experiences. I think that's a key thing.
I think in terms of being a minister, and you might say, well, okay, you're not a proper minister because you're just a mission enabler. So who's going to do the funerals? Who's going to visit the people? Who's going to marry people or whatever it is? And as a minister, I'd still be up for doing that kind of stuff. And you know, in the sense of representing the church. But we have to be focused on what the role is. Otherwise, we'll just keep slipping into the whole thing of this is what we're expecting a minister to be. And none of this, Rosemary, will take away any of the care and the love and the support that we have for each other already. We're not saying don't do that anymore. It's like Viv says, but we're going, and actually mission is something that frees a lot of us, because it's often the very thing that we fear the most, but it's the thing that we need to free us. So when people have gone out and done stuff, you know, the very first time you pray for somebody, it's scary. Even just asking if they want prayer is scary. I remember it, you know, like, could you, because often we'll say something like, can I pray for you, or would you like me to pray for you? And they say, yeah, and they say, okay, I'll pray for you later, you know, like something like that. We're just a bit too scared to pray for them there and then. But actually, but when you do that, wow, you've stepped up, and then after that, you don't have a problem with asking somebody if you want to pray for them. So it's empowering everybody to be able to do that, not just the minister. Because a minister, remember, the minister's job is to equip all the people to be ministers. So what if on Sunday morning, I don't know how many people we had here, was it 40-something? We've got 40-something ministers this week doing ministry. That's what it's about, not just one person doing ministry. And so it's flipping it around into that. But yeah, I think pastoral care will still be a part of that, but it's in equipping and enabling that to happen within the fellowship as well.
After all, Jesus said, "By this they shall know that you are my disciple, because you love one another." So that's a very important part of being church together, I think, is caring for each other and look out for each other, as well as looking outside church to bring the kingdom of God outside too, of our community, of church.
Thanks. Probably not answered that question very well. I sense that... Yeah. Okay. That is sad to hear. This is a friend of yours?
I'll ask a question which I think I know the... Well, I do know the answer to, but perhaps not everyone... We haven't shared it necessarily. If you were to be called to Ruddington and you accepted, when do you think you might be looking to come? Where would you be looking to live, and how would that work out? So some more sort of practical questions, really.
Yeah. I think that the beginning of the year might be, next year would be a good 2028. Oh no, what's next year? 2026. Beginning of that year would be a good time to start. And really we are creatively thinking about the whole area, the whole thing about moving, because we don't have a house and are currently renting. So we'd need to think through that one in terms of how we could live here. What was the other question? Yeah, we'd want to come. We'd want to come and live here. Yeah. But the walk through the Bible that's happening, do you know about the walk through the Bible that's happening in a month or so? Fantastic. I'll tell you about it. It's going to be a good thing. We're going to walk through the New Testament together. But one of the things it might be good to do as a church after that would be to go on a journey reading through one of the Gospels together as a church, like for 40 days or something. And that could be a group activity that the church do following on from the walkthrough, which is almost sort of leading into Christmas. And you've got Advent and that kind of thing. So there could be some things that happen before me actually coming here if I was to start in January. Yeah, but we need to think through some of those things. Yeah, and pray. Other things?
I'll ask another question, which I know we've talked about, but the church hasn't sort of heard you speaking about, which is you have this sort of entrepreneurial spirit, which is really wonderful, and God gives you these Kairos moments, and that is brilliant as well. How would your role at Ruddington Baptist Church be affected by some of the other activities that you're already involved with? So the coffee and the old people's home and all the rest of it, teaching English. How do you see that working? Do you see that continuing? Do you see that being part of Ruddington Baptist Church, or do you see that as being something quite different?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think it's, we haven't got a set plan about all those things, but we just need to prayerfully think through, is this what we're involved in adding to what God's doing in our lives and the ministry that he's calling to do, or is it distracting away from that? And so it's prayerfully bringing those things before God and seeing what that will look like. And I don't know the answers to that, because we'd have to sort of think those things through once we've... But I still feel a calling to be anointed for business. And so we'd still be doing that. I mean, it's not like a job. It's more like a side hustle. So, you know, but that maybe there could be quite a few kingdom opportunities here in Ruddington, because coffee's very popular in this area. And so, you know, it could be ways that that happens. English teaching could fit in with that. I know, is it Ness, you're involved in English teaching as well, and there could be sort of things like that. So it's how would that complement things as well? Yeah. I haven't thought through all the details yet, but yeah. Yeah.
This is for comment. In Ruddington, we have very good relationships with the other churches. The Anglican Church over the road there, the Methodist Church next door, along with The Rock. Particularly The Rock and St. Peter's Church are growing churches, and in my opinion, doing a good job. I just wonder how you could see us fitting in, or whatever your feelings about that sort of subject are.
Good question. And I think, kingdom-wise, we need to be thinking of all the churches in the area and working together. And it's great that you've got those ongoing relationships and things are already developed. We live in Chesterfield, and there isn't such a strong church connection with different churches. And I think one of the reasons why there are such good, strong links here in Nottingham is that there's a lot of prayer for Nottingham. And Viv and I have been involved in the city prayer events for the last year or so. And, you know, when churches across Nottingham pray at 7 o'clock in the morning once a month, and it's quite amazing. And I think part of the fruit of that is that churches working together in areas like this. And so, yeah, we need to connect as much as we can. But one of the things that we can do as churches is not all be doing the same thing. You know, we're all different. We don't all have to become like each other. And one of the exciting things is God can lead some churches to do one thing. Another church can be doing another thing. And another church can be doing something else. But we're all part of the body of Christ, so we're all serving Ruddington in different ways. And I think this is encouraging, but you may get a bit worried by this idea. But often when we move into mission, it's not trying to do more things. It's actually doing less. Doing less things. Focusing. Is lots of small churches tend to do everything, and part of working together with other churches is that we can complement each other, and that's exciting, you know. For example, another church down the road may not be doing youth work, but another church is doing a lot of youth work, so the youth work can connect with what they're doing, and, you know, that kind of thing. We've seen that happen a lot. So I want to work with churches, and it's great that you've got those relationships.
I thought it would be good to, I suppose, hear where your current thinking is sort of how ministry here would unfold and the timescales you envisage for that. So we've talked about it a bit, but, you know, so everyone knows where you're at the moment.
Yeah. Have any of you read this thing called the 3-year plan? Did that go out? Yeah. This is not kind of written in stone, but I think it was just my attempt to put something in writing that can help us to have an idea of what this could look like over a 3-year period, in terms of, you know, Jesus's ministry was 3 years. I think it's a significant time. So And again, we need to be constantly listening to God and not just thinking about, oh, this is what we said we'd do, so we need to do this. But, you know, but the first year here is being equipped for everyday mission. So that's really about change, helping us to change our mindset and to be equipped and enabled in some of these missional practices to be able to do some of these things. And there's quite a few things on there. And then the second year is this kind of embodying and expanding. And then the third year is this idea of where do we go from here sort of thing. And so putting it into a three-year plan, which I would be committed to serving for 3 years, and during the third year, we'd then be working out what happens after that, you know, like. And it may be that there's other roles that we think could be in the church and that sort of thing. So, yeah, I think it would be, that's a basic idea and an understanding of it. What sort of more detail, Chris, do you? I think it would be for 3 years, but in that third year to review, well, you know, in the sense of what happens after this, it may be that I stay till the end of the century, or it may be that the 3 year period is a good period, and the church goes, whew, you know, or whatever. But yeah, I'm not trying to present myself to you and beg you to accept me to come here. That's not what I'm here to do. I want you to discern from God. In a sense, your journey, your missional journey, is not dependent upon me. I'll be here. I have some skills and abilities and experience that I could help you to do that, if that's what you wanted, if that's what you want to do. But it's not really about me in terms of who I am and that. So I, you know, I'm probably being a bit defensive here, but I'm not trying to pitch myself. You are saying this is where we are as a church. These are our strengths. This is what we feel God's calling us to do. I feel I have gifts and skills to be able to help you to do that. And so I offer myself to do that. That's where I'm at. In the sense, it's not in terms of who I am, you know, it's not about me. It's about really about where you are as a church and how open you are to go on that journey in terms of what God's calling you to do. And so I flip it over to you guys. You know, what do you see that you want to happen here in Ruddington? What's your dream? What's your vision? What you would like to see happen over the next 1, 2, 3 years? I'll just throw that out there for you. Has anybody got any input onto that? Do it. Very honest. In what sense?
Just that you just lay yourself open to what you're, you know, what God is leading into.
Yeah. I think having that profile, what we're saying is we want to change and we want to be more focused and we want to be more effective. So basically we're putting our hands up for change and for challenge, and it's scary too, isn't it? But we have got to want something different. I think if we just carry on doing the same, it'll be nice, but it won't have huge impact on lots of other people, which is really quite the aim.
Yeah, I think the same. I think it's like, it's the point of, it reminds me a bit of when I was planning to go to uni, and you're like, oh, and you think this is where I'm going and this is what I want to do and this is the next step. And then it's like, you know, the week before you're going and you're like, why did I say I wanted to go away? And then you think all the like the reasons why actually it's quite nice what you know already. But I think that's, you know, I think no one wants to be busier, like, you know, just out more and more frazzled. But there's like any growing, there's always a bit of vulnerability, and it's exciting, but it's also a bit scary what God will call you to do. But that's just part of growing. That's, you don't, you know, you can stay comfortable and stay where you are, but it'd be really sad in 3 years' time if we just were still comfortable and singing nice songs and, you know, occasionally there's lots of good stuff that we're already involved in, but like Ness said, it could be more focused. And it's like, it's really good here, but it is a bit of a secret. And Sunday isn't a place where most of my friends want to come, which is a shame from my perspective, but there's probably a better way to do it. So, yeah. There's somebody on, I think it's the Minions, he says, cautiously excited, which I think is an oxymoron, because if you're excited, that's not very cautious, but there is a little bit of that, you know, and yeah.
Maybe something similar to you, Sarah. So I think for a number of us, we've been in the Baptist Church for decades, and we will have seen people come through and be in the church for a while and sometimes leave the church and sometimes go nowhere after that. But we're also really well networked. There are many of us who are sociable and who run groups. And really, like you say, Sarah, those people don't want to come on a Sunday. So I think my reflection as you were speaking is that to break away from that traditional, but in some way, if we can squeeze people here on a Sunday, that would just be really great, as opposed to facing a truth and a reality that actually faith and growing in faith and growing in the love of Christ can happen anywhere. But having a galvanizing position to actually learn how to do that, to be supported in that prayerfully with other people, to be a collective force, you know, I think that's what I think we are looking for.
That poem that I read by Christopher Logan about Come to the Edge, we often used to read that to year five, at year six children, just before they went off to secondary school. Because at every stage of your life, there's always that next edge. If you think about you moving from primary school to secondary school, that's a bit like being pushed out of the nest, isn't it? Or, you know, whatever. And I sense that some of you may be thinking, gosh, are we going to lose this special thing that we have? Are we going to lose this wonderful, special group of people that we know and love and the way we do things? Is that going to be over now? Is that what this means when we're kind of being pushed to the edge? And I want to say, in some ways, yes. Because like moving from primary school to secondary school, you don't see it at the time because these are all my friends and this is what I'm doing and now I'm going off to this big school. But it's much bigger and much, what God will give us is much bigger and better than what we have. And Jesus says, if you love your life and cling to it, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life, you'll gain it. If you give up, it's a sense of the challenge, Sarah, is not in terms of busyness, because none of us want to do more stuff. None of us want more meetings. None of us want to do more activities. The challenge is the openness to grow. That's the challenge. It's the learning. When we already feel that we know what to do, but we have to learn, Because what I sense that you're all saying is we want this to happen, but we don't know how. And what I'm saying is I can show you how, or show you some of the things, not everything, because, you know, God's leading us. And so, but it requires an openness. So the only thing really is, are we open? We don't have to know everything. I don't have to know everything. And we certainly don't have to feel capable or that we can do it, because that's, God uses weak people who don't know what to do. And they just offer themselves to him and say, Lord, I don't know how to do this. I feel weak. I feel vulnerable. I feel scared. But that's when God's power comes in. And he does things through that. But he doesn't do things through capable people who think they can do it. Go through the whole Bible and that's the way God works. He works through the weak and the vulnerable and the poor. And so if you're feeling scared, that might be an indication that God's leading us into something. But if we're open and we want to trust him in that next step, then, yeah, he will do amazing things.
So I've seen you at Walk Through the Bible, which was brilliant. I liked that spatial thing. And I've seen you here, but I haven't read, I presume the leadership team have read some references, but I don't know. So I don't really know how you are in a team and how you are with like mystery and the unknowns. Because I'm sensing that you've obviously got loads of experience leading, which is great. But yeah, what are you like in a team? And what about the stuff that you don't know? Like the unknowns, like there's always, God surprises us quite a lot, I think. I don't know how you lead with that sense of, and there might be a surprise and it might not be how I thought it would be. So that's maybe two questions.
Yeah, I mean, I operate best in a team. That's the only way I could best describe it. I'm very team orientated. My role at Haddon Hall was a team leader. So they were quite wise as a church that they, even back then, whenever that was in the 80s, they said, well, we don't want a pastor. We want a team leader. And so it's equipping a team, working with the team. And the team have different gifts and skills, and we all need to work together. I have a strong awareness of what I can do and what I can't do. And there's a lot that I can't do. but that's why we need to work as a team. We need all the different gifts. Yeah, and I think, I guess part of the question could be, you know, like, what's your weakest area or whatever? You know, like when people ask in an interview, what's your weakest area? That I don't have any weak areas. No. but sometimes racing ahead is one of the things I do, because I get excited. And I need, that's why I think team grounds you. And stuff, but also focus. We talked a little bit about this yesterday, Sarah, in terms of focus, that there's so many good things we could do, so many. And, you know, I get so excited about, oh, I could do this, and, oh, I could be involved in this, and, oh, isn't this great? But then I honestly believe God said to me last week, stop faffing around, you know. You know, like something like that, you know, like focus on what I've called you to do, because that's one of the skills, that's one of the things I learn. And that's why I'm married to Viv, because Viv's very good at grabbing me by the throat like that and saying, focus. No. Those kind of things, yeah.
I think, well, should we call it a day there? I think, thank you so much for answering all those questions and for putting yourself through last night and today. We really appreciate it. And we've got a lot to think about. As I said, we're going to be opening up the hub at 7:30 for prayer, and then tomorrow evening we'll meet. We will look to see if we can make a decision tomorrow night, but if we can't, and people still need more time to sort of consider this move, and if that's important for us as a group, then we'll defer that decision until we can make that decision together. But ideally, we'll be looking tomorrow night to make a decision. So